is dead. Close your eyes and listen.
Open your ears and listen.
Close your eyes and listen.
Open your ears and listen.
Last Man Standing by Anna Leventhal. I had lived in the apartment for about a month when there was a knock on the door. "You probably shouldn't answer that," my roommate said, but I was halfway there. They would have already heard my footsteps. At the door was a very short woman in overalls and a blue t-shirt. "Can I use your phone?" she said. I handed her my cell and pressed my foot down on the cat as she tried to slip out the door. "Sorry," I said to the woman. She stared at me, saying nothing. She didn't seem to have dialed, but then I was distracted. She shook her head and handed me the phone, looking around nervously. She appeared to be distraught or high. The cat struggled out of my arms, and I went after him again. The woman didn't seem to have done yet, so I asked her to come inside so I could close the door. She leaned in and spoke into my face. "My baby," said the woman. "He's hurt. I need to take him to the hospital." She'd several teeth missing, and several more were dull gold. "Do you need me to call you an ambulance?" "Please," she said, "no ambulance." I couldn't place her accent. "I can't afford the ambulance. Please, sir, my baby is hurt." "Where's your baby?" I said. "I need to take him to the hospital." "In a cab." She eyed my recording equipment, which was visible through the doorway to my room. It wasn't so fancy, but to a crackhead, it would look like Big Rock Candy Mountain. I clued in. "Okay," I said. "What's it going to cost me to get you out of my apartment?" She paused for a moment. $20, she said. "All I have is 10, I said. She took it and nodded. "I'll bring it back tomorrow." I closed the door and the sound of her shoes tapping down the stairs. I flipped open the phone and looked through the recent calls. I highlighted the most recent one and pressed the green button. Surprisingly, it connected. I let it go for 10 rings, and I snapped the phone shut. My roommate was rolling a joint on the sofa. "Someone you know?" he said. "Sure," I said. The rest of the day passed in a kind of pleasant undulation, like driving down the California coast in a big Cadillac with the radio on, just listening to whatever, with the cliffs on one side and on the other, the green and deadly ocean. Around 3 in the morning, my phone rang. This usually means either bad news or my cousin Micah is in town.
"You called me,"
said a man's voice on the other end. "I don't think so," I said.
"Well, someone called me from this number," he said, "twice."
I thought very hard, forcing my way from sleep. Something about an ambulance and money. Mine. "You owe me $10, I said.
"What? Is this Mario? I fucking told you, Mario, I told you. Don't call me at this number."
"This isn't Mario," I said, "but you still owe me $10.
"No fucking way,"
the guy said, but he sounded a bit shaken. "How's the baby?" I said.
"What baby?"
"The baby, the one that had to go to the hospital."
"Is that a threat?" he said.
"Yeah, it's a fucking threat," I said, improvising.
"Who the fuck is this?"
"Someone who wants his $10 back."
"Listen, man, I don't know if you're a friend of Mario's or what the fuck, but you come at me like that, you get me feeling some kind of way. Fuck you."
"No, fuck you," I said. I was getting bored. I clacked the phone shut, went back to sleep. It rang almost immediately, so I set it to silent. In the morning, I opened the phone and listened for the dial tone. Of course, there wasn't one. There was no such thing as dial tones anymore. I had 33 missed calls, all from the mystery number. There were 40 messages. The first 3 were strings of curses. The rest were just a bunch of muffled noises. The guy had probably been pocket dialing me all night. I pressed delete 14 times while I lit a cigarette. My roommate was already on the sofa, playing an N64 he'd found in the alley. He tossed me up a 7-Up without even looking. He had the radio on, and a woman with a heavy Quebec accent was hosting a phone-in show. The theme was dog sweaters, for or against. I twisted the top off the pop bottle and used a butter knife to pry the plastic circle from under the cap. Come on, jackpot. What's it say? Brendan asked. Please play again. Well, I would hardly call that playing, he said. I went downstairs to check the mail. A white 11x14 envelope was crammed into the narrow box, despite the serious red Do Not Fold stamped on it. I carried it back upstairs. What's that? Brendan said. My degree, I said. He laughed. I went into my room. When I held the envelope up to the window, I could vaguely see the Latin words written on it, and below them, my name. The cat stood in the doorway, waiting for me to put the envelope down so he could sit on it. Are you the most special creature in the universe? I asked. Probably, he seemed to say. That evening, me, Brendan and Renault, the building super, went to the Miracle for a drink. It was the kind of night you know you're going to see people who look like famous people. Renault ordered a pink frothy drink from a woman with a neck striped from self-tanning. A strange guy sat down next to me and asked if he could have a sip of my beer. He was probably about my age, 28, but he looked 55. Listen, is a night a time, a place, or a thing? He said. It's a noun, that's for sure. It's a state of mind, Renault said. The Miracle didn't have a bar license, so Maurice, the owner, would serve a provisional sort of buffet with the drinks. Half a bagel and a sliced up apple, or a handful of potato chips with some baby bell cheese. Then she'd go to her armchair in the corner and nod off, her turtleneck pulled up half over her face. This time, it was a stale tequila and a bowl of salsa. Maurice shrugged apologetically as she set them down. The economy, she said, you know. She was wearing a shirt that said, I'm a kind of a big deal. We smoked those cigarettes that come in two sections, smokes and filters. You put them together yourself and save a dollar. We knew a guy who knew a guy who once opened his bag to find both sections were cigarettes. It was pretty much the most exciting thing to happen that year. In every pack there are always a couple more filters than cigarettes, and we would save them up for the day when we too would be beneficiaries of the universe's generous nature. I still had the envelope with me. I put it on the table, where it quickly started to look like an Olympic flag. Next to us, two young guys were discussing the method of staying out until the very end of the night, when the bar is about to close, at which point you get to take home the drunkest girl there. I know that method, one guy said. It's called last man standing. No, it isn't, said his companion. It's called taking out the trash. Last man standing. Taking out the trash. Brendan got up to stop the jukebox. It was playing mostly French tearjerker songs. I knew what he was going to put on, and I kind of hated him for it. I hated both of us. On the other side of the room, I saw the woman who owed me $10. She was sitting at the bar with a long, blonde man who looked like one of the Norwegians from Twin Peaks. I went over and tapped her on the back. I know what you're going to say, she said. Her accent was gone. How's the baby? I said. She laughed. Brendan's song came on. It was the Eagles. Do you want to dance? I said. She smiled and came into my arms. She was taller than I originally thought. Her head fit right just under my chin. I got a degree today, I said. A master's in political philosophy. She laughed again. Brendan started to sing.
Thank you. calling Delta Credit to resolve their credit problem.
Thank you. arrivo preso in un berlino che sta in bocca. È terrible. All those falling, bombing houses, everything was really tough. Because I had to carry the problem. I was falling to the center, and the school asked me if he was a very important message. So I gave it to Burma, the message, and he did it all I couldn't have. And he did it to the other major of the room. And then we were running through the door, which was our Russian friend. They are waiting outside the dungeon. And on the 4th of May, I was saying, we all came out of the dungeon. It was all fire and smoke, miles of smoke. They are waiting outside on the with us and keep us. Now it is springtime in Berlin. Everything is growing and flowers.
It's springtime.
On the dungeon.
And flowers growing.
And they here in the dungeon of many festivities.
Hello?
Van General.
Hello?
Give me a beautiful golden.
Can you receive me? Receive me.
On you.
Hello, hello. Hello.
And the secretary to the right here.
Hello.
In another question.
Oh,
God.
This fight is here.
But I tried that thing. But yet, my God, it's up and down. I forgot the plan.
Strange.
And I will drop two shopping before there's no way out. Because
strange.
I was fine.
Trying to. Hello? It's better. This is better. This is better, I think. X423. Can you receive me? Can you receive me? X423. Can you receive me? Can you receive me? I get no answer. There's no answer. I have no idea if you receive me. I'm trying to transmit. There's nobody in the room. And I can transmit now. It's the only time I can talk. So please, if you receive this, tape it, please. Said X-4-27. Can you receive me? Please come in. It's very, very important. It's a very important message. I'm standing here still, yes. I'm still in the house, yes. It's unbelievable. I'm in the closet. I'm in a closet, a very small room. I can only stand up, it's unbelievable. I cannot sit down. There's no way to sit down, it's pitch black. There's nothing to do. All I can do is stand up. I cannot sleep anymore. There's nothing to eat. There's no toilet here. I cannot move. I cannot barely breathe. If they hear me, then it's all over. I will be eaten. That's it. It'll be the end. I have to be here, silently. Just wait and look sometimes through the keyhole. And then I see the green curtains. Sometimes it is night. Sometimes it is daylight. Then the light is all green. There is straw on the floor. In the middle, they make a fire. And they just sit there. Silently. Just silently. And they stare at each other as if they are waiting for me to come out of the closet. And I am standing here silently, keep my breath, try not to breathe, try not to make any noise. I'm all stiff. I have been here for 3 days and 3 nights in this closet. Just try to imagine. It is unbelievable what a human body can take. I have not been able to sleep. I have not been able to eat. I'm just standing here silently. Most of the time, somebody sits in the room. Most of the time, somebody is just watching. It seems as if they are watching the closet. But most of the time, they don't come to the closet. I have the key. I lock the door from the inside. But if they discover that they don't have the key and that they cannot get into the closet, they will break open the door and it will be the end of me. Please, if you receive my message, come here and help me. I did all the research. I tried my best. I looked hours and hours through that keyhole. And I discovered incredible things. Please tape this transmission. This is the only way I have of communicating with you. This is the only way I have of communicating with you. Please tape this transmission. I'm standing here all nude in this closet. It is pitch black. Pitch black. I can barely move. It is unbelievable, but I have been standing here silently for days and days, without sleep, without food. I'm all covered with brown stuff. It smells terribly. Under my armpits is big deposits of, oh, I don't even want to go into details, but I look terrible. It is terrible, the way I look, the way I smell. I'm amazed that they don't smell it in the room. It is horrible that I have to bear with my own body, which is just disposing of incredible things. If you don't eat, so many things come out of your body. The discharge goes on. Once your body has digested everything there is to digest, the body starts to repair itself, and some incredible things start to happen. You become very strange in your head. First you become very light, very light. Then you start to think very clearly. Then you move into some kind of dream, into some kind of dream. And I think about you. I think about you that night that we danced with each other in that ballroom. And I looked into your eyes. And your beautiful blue eyes were looking into mine. And I was all melting. I was melting. I was disappearing into your eyes. I was not existing anymore. It was unbelievable. But I disappeared completely. I had no idea what happened. My body kept on dancing. I was there, I know. But I wasn't there. I was somewhere else. I was in you. We became one. I think so much about this moment, and now I'm standing here, and I cannot move in this closet. It is unbelievable. What can a man do? I cannot move anymore. Please, come and help me. If they discover me, she'll break open the door and get me and eat me alive. That's it. The fire in the room is waiting for me. The room is all covered with straw. There is no furniture. It is all empty. The curtains are green. It is a house outside in the forest. You have to find this house, please. I can describe you. Please tape this transmission. Nobody is in the room right now. And I have the only way of talking. I cannot talk normally. I have waited for 3 days and 3 nights before I could talk. And now I can talk at least. I can talk to you. I hope you can receive me. Please listen very carefully. I'm giving out this very important transmission. You have to take streetcar number 45, streetcar number 45 until the end. There the bus number 69 is waiting, bus 69 is waiting. Get into bus 69 and just keep on driving all the way to the end. You will end up in a little village on the market square. Now there you can take a cab to Stone Canyon, Stone Canyon. Take a cab to Stone Canyon, please. Get out. near the Rock of Death. Yeah, it sounds strange, but it's called the Rock of Death. The Rock of Death. Please tape this transmission. Walk from the Rock of Death all the way down into the canyon. All the way. Just follow the path that starts there, at the Rock of Death. Go down all the way in the canyon. Keep following the road. It's a small pass. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Just keep going straight. Wherever that little road winds, keep following it. All the way down into the canyon. At the end, the road will stop in front of an abyss. A deep abyss. It is a very deep, deep hole in the earth. There, near that abyss, just walk to the left and follow it. Follow the ravine. All the way down. All the way down. Until the landscape becomes very strange and creepy, and I was feeling shudders all over my body. I thought perhaps I should not go further, but I did anyway. It is amazing. I did. I went further and further, and that's when I discovered this house. It is standing next to the abyss, and there it is, all alone. It's all green. You won't see anybody near. It's all silent. I got myself into that house. I went in. Don't ask me how. I waited until it was night. I got in. There was nobody there. I'm amazed still. It seems as if they were hiding themselves from me. It was just as if they were hiding themselves from me. It was amazing. I got into the closet as soon as I heard somebody. I got into the closet, and there I waited. I could barely breathe. I looked out of the keyhole, and I saw them coming into the room. They were all nude. They made a little fire in the middle of the room. There's no furniture there. They sat around the fire, and they just stared at each other. That was it. Wait a moment. Wait. Hang on. Don't go away. Standing up 3 days, 3 nights, every moment of the day, every moment of the night, impossible to sleep, you cannot move, I'm all stiff, I'm all nude, I can barely stand myself, I'm changed into some horrible creatures. I'm all covered. It's all covered. It's just, there's a shit most of the day. Most of the time silent. Sometimes they sing. Sometimes they talk. And here I am. I know that once they discover me, it will be all over. It will be all over. That's it. She will break open the door, get me out, and eat me alive. She will roast me in the fire. One night I saw it. I saw it. There was another closet in the room. So I opened it with a key, and out came somebody. Out came somebody, yes. He was all stiff. It was a he. All nude, all marinated in some brown, horrible smelling gook. It was terrible to see the sight. It seemed that he was asleep or dead, or I could barely breathe. I was in total shock. You can imagine why I have to talk so fast and so much. This is a very important message. Please tape it and bring it to Station X-24. Station X-24. Find out where it is. Please come help me. I have perhaps one more day to go. I'm standing here in this closet, and I saw through the keyhole, how they opened the other closet and took out the body. It was all stiff, and they put it on the floor in the straw, and two men stood up, and there, they made the fire higher and higher. They threw herbs, delicious smelling herbs, in the fire, and they roasted the body. They roasted the body. I'm not overdoing this. I saw it with my own eyes. The body was roasted entirely, and I was just standing there, and I wanted to scream, but I could barely breathe because they would hear me in the closet, and that was it. That was it. That would be it. I knew from now on that this would be my fate. This would be my fate. If you don't come here, if you don't follow my instructions, if you don't get to that house in the canyon, if you don't get in, if you don't open this closet, if you don't get me out, this will be it. This will be my last transmission. My last transmission. Wait. Wait. Wait.
Hello? Hello, Diamond Blue calling for the man in the closet. Do you read me? Hello? Hello? Hello, I'm picking up your transmission. Hello? Do you read me? Diamond Blue calling for the man in the closet. Can you read me? Hello?
I read you.
Can you speak up?
Don't talk so loud. They are in the room. I cannot talk. Hang on.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to tell you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, I think what you're doing is really cool. I mean, I think, you know, the music and the voice chat, I mean, you must have quite a plush studio in there. I was listening to your transmission. I think it's really interesting.
I'm standing in the closet. And they are killing a chicken right now. I will be next. Try to get here. Please. Okay. cannot talk loud. I cannot talk loud. They're in the room. They're in the room.
Hello? I just wanted to tell you, I think that the way you set up this whole thing, I mean, it sounds so real, and I think it's really interesting. You know, I think you could get this on the radio. I have a friend that is in the radio art business, and I think he could even probably sell your radio play by mail order. I mean, it sounds so real. It's just like amazing, you know. I mean, the whole story is really affecting me. I'm really tripping out on it. And I just wanted to tell you, I think it's great. And I think you should keep up the good work. You got a fan out here. It's really cool. Hello, you there?
I cannot talk. Is it in the home? Is it in the home? Hang on, please hang on. Don't go away. Don't go away. I talk as soon as I can. I looked through the keyhole. I looked through the keyhole. They're gone. They're gone. They're all alone. Just a chicken in front of the fire. Roasting. The chicken over the fire, roasting. And I'm here, in a closet. Please, understand me. I'm in a closet for 3 days, 3 nights. I'm standing here, all alone. I cannot move. They cannot discover me. Please, this is real. Come here. Try to get me. I have only one more day to go. One more day. If you don't get me, this is it. This is my last possibility. My batteries are running out. My batteries are running out. I hope you receive me. And if you cannot help me, please tape this transmission and send it to X24, X24. Please find out the address. Please help me. I'm in dire straits.
Excuse me, do you mind if I ask you a question? I mean, I don't want to interrupt or anything, but like the closet, does that symbolize your caged in feeling, like you know, like I'm in a closet too? I mean, we're all in a closet, and I think, you know, we all feel like we're trapped. I think it has something to do with, you know, all the nuclear bombs and the pollution and stuff. And I think that you're probably the chicken that you said they're roasting, that could have something to do with, I don't know, I'm not sure, but Well, tell me this. Was the whole thing inspired by the American Indian Sweat Lodge ceremony? Hello, Radio Man? I mean, Closet Man. Closet Man, Lana Blue. Hello, Closet Man? Lana Blue calling for Closet Man. Are you there? Hello?
I can show. She's back in the room. They're back in the room. They're back in the room. I cannot talk. Batteries are getting running out. Tape this. I've been here. Standing here all alone. I cannot move. Cannot move, please. Come and help us. It's 24. Hurry up. Zo mijn gezin hier uit. Mijn klas is in je zin. Zeg maar. Gezin hier uit. Ik ben snijven in je gezin.
Can you turn up your volume a little bit, please? I'm losing your transmission. Closet man. Closet man.
Standing in a closet. I cannot talk.
Hello?
I cannot
Hello?
Talk. Somebody's in the
Hello? Pool. Hello? Can you speak up? I'm losing your transmission. And this thing is so cool. I mean, I want to take this off. And I know I'm going to send it around. I think you're really talented, you know? I mean, this is just so far up. I mean, I've been getting, like, chills down my back and everything. Hello? Oh, don't finish, please. Hello? Hello?
Thank you.
90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
This is Lukey D. Real food you want. Come to Mango Bay every day.
Real food. Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together and feel alright.
Quand vos parents ont besoin d'aide, vous êtes là. Quand vos enfants ont des craintes, vous êtes là. Quand vos amis vivent un moment difficile, vous êtes là. Soyez là pour vous, comme vous l'êtes pour vos proches. C'est possible que la situation actuelle vous fasse ressentir des émotions difficiles ou même de la détresse. Si vous éprouvez de la difficulté à réaliser les actions du quotidien, des solutions existent. Rendez-vous sur québec.ca/allez-mieux ou appelez Info Social 811. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and welcome to New Shit, where we play some new shit, stuff that's come out recently in the last 2 months. My name is Evan, and this is my first show. This is my first time hosting. I'm a McGill student. I've done radio before. I had a little show in Edinburgh, Scotland for about 5-6 months while I was there on exchange called Eardrum Solo, which was good fun.